Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Is this on? Canto 3. Canto 3 is titled Status Quo. Chapter 28. Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service. Text number 32. Hasam Harir Avanata Kila Loka Tivra.
Hasam Harir Avanata Kila Loka Tivra.
Soka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram.
Soka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram.
Sammoho Anayara Chitam Nijamaya Yasya.
Sammoho Anayara Chitam Nijamaya Yasya.
Brumandalam Muni Krite Makara Dvajasya.
Brumandalam Muni Krite Makara Dvajasya.
Asam Hare Avanata Soka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram.
Soka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram.
Sammoho Anayara Chitam Nijamaya Yasya.
Sammoho Anayara Chitam Nijamaya Yasya.
Brumandalam Muni Krite Makara Dvajasya.
Brumandalam Muni Krite Makara Dvajasya.
Asam Harir Avanata Kila Loka Tivra.
Asam Harir Avanata Kila Loka Tivra.
Soka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram.
Soka Shrusagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram.
Sammoho Anayara Chitam Nijamaya Yasya.
Sammoho Anayara Chitam Nijamaya Yasya.
Brumandalam Muni Krite Makara Dvajasya.
Brumandalam Muni Krite Makara Dvajasya.
Hasam.
Hasam.
Smile.
The smile.
Hari.
Hari.
Of Lord Sri Hari.
Of Lord Sri Hari.
Avanata.
Avanata.
Bhav.
Bhav.
Akhila.
Akhila.
All.
All.
Loka.
Loka.
For persons.
For persons.
Tivra Shoka.
Tivra Shoka.
Caused by intense grief.
Caused by intense grief.
Ashru Sagara.
Ashru Sagara.
The ocean of tears.
Ocean of tears.
Vishoshana.
Vishoshana.
Drying up.
Drying up.
Ati Udara.
Ati Udara.
Most benevolent.
Most benevolent.
Sammoho Anaya.
Sammoho Anaya.
For charming.
For charming.
Rachitam.
Rachitam.
Manifested.
Manifested.
Nijamayaya.
Nijamayaya.
By his internal potency.
By his internal potency.
Asya.
Asya.
His.
His.
Brumandalam.
Brumandalam.
Arched eyebrows.
Arched eyebrows.
Munikrite.
Munikrite.
For the good of the sages.
For the good of the sages.
Makaradvajasya.
Makaradvajasya.
Of the sex god.
Of the sex god.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. A yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari. A smile which, for all those who bow to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. The yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The entire universe is full of miseries, and therefore the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. There is a great ocean of water made from such tears. But for one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean of tears is at once dried up. One need only see the charming smile of the Supreme Lord. In other words, the bereavement of material existence immediately subsides when one sees the charming smile of the Lord. It is stated in this verse that the charming eyebrows of the Lord are so fascinating that they cause one to forget the charms of sense attraction. The conditioned souls are shackled to material existence because they are captivated by the charms of sense gratification, especially sex life. The sex god is called Makaradvaja. The charming brows of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect the sages and devotees from being charmed by material lust and sex attraction. Yamunacharya, a great acharya, said that ever since he had seen the charming pastimes of the Lord, the charms of sex life had become abominable for him. And the mere thought of sex enjoyment would cause him to spit and turn his face. Thus, if anyone wants to be aloof from sex attraction, he must see the charming smile and fascinating eyebrows of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Chakshuraya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Ramakrishna Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayarupa Kalamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchar Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Kriya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
I read the translation again and we do it responsibly. A yogi, responsibly.
A yogi.
Should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile
of the most benevolent smile
of Lord Sri Hari.
Of Lord Sri Hari.
A smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief.
The yogi
should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency, in order to charm the sex god,
for the good of the sages.
Okay. Before I actually get into the class today, I think it's only appropriate that I welcome a special guest, at least special to me. He is Krishna Chandra Prabhu. So the secret over there, he's from Malaysia actually. He's a senior Vaishnava, he's been in KL, Kuala Lumpur temple for many, many years. He's in management over there. I think he's in national management also. In national management? Yeah, he's in national management also. So he comes and goes, but I never had the opportunity to actually officially welcome him. But more special to me is my Krishna consciousness began in his house. Because many years ago, I'm talking about 1999, I can't remember, 2000. Around that time, Prabhu is a grihastha, he goes to work and then he rushes back every fortnight. He will have Namahat program in his house. And me and my wife were like, nobody in Krishna consciousness. It's like still nobody today, but at that time we were worse off. We were total ignorance. Prabhu would organize the Namahat programs, and those were my early beginnings. And left Malaysia, came to Melbourne, of course. I'm being inspired by all of you, by the devotees here and management here. So it is a continuing journey, and I thank Prabhu for starting that spark. I mean, link it to today's verse. We have read in previous verses that Karadamuni, he left home. Yeah, he left home, went up to the forest for his own self-realization. And his wife Devahuti was left in the care of who? Lord Kapila. Now, who is Lord Kapila? Lord Kapila is none other than the plenary portion of Krishna himself. What does plenary mean? Complete. Okay? He's a complete portion. He's Krishna himself who has descended. He is like, he's actually an avatar. An avatar means one who descends. One who descends for revealing knowledge of God realization. And in this case, we are talking about Satya Yuga, because it's still early stages of creation. Lord Brahma has started Visarga, the secondary creation, and we've got Lord Brahma, we've got Swayambhu Manu, and then Devahuti, third generation. Okay, and Lord Kapila has entered. So in Satya Yuga, God realized, the process of God realization is through meditation, because they're still very all highly, very elevated. So he descended to actually teach what philosophy?
Sankhya philosophy.
Sankhya philosophy, which is pretty much a combination of devotional service and mystic realization. And he's one of the 12 Mahajanas. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara Kapilo, Manuhu. Then you've got Prahlad, Janako, Bhishma. Then last one is Bali, Vayasakhi, Vayam. This is Yamaraj actually stating this in Canto 6. I think it's chapter 3, verse 20.
Shukdev Goswami.
Yeah. So, Swayambhu relates to Lord Brahma. Narada is Narada Muni. Shambhu relates to Lord Shiva. Okay, Kumara are the four sons of Lord Brahma. Kapila. Then we've got Manu, Swayambhu Manu himself. Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Lord Bhishma. Then the Bali Maharaj. Then Vayasakhi refers to Sukadeva Goswami, and Vayam actually refers to Yamaraj himself. Right? So he has descended, and one day while staying at Bindu Sarovara, he's sitting leisurely in a secluded place. Mother Devahuti approaches him and she declares, "Oh my dear Lord, I am very tired. I'm very tired of the disturbances caused by my material senses. And because of my engagement in sense gratification, I have fallen into an abyss of ignorance. You are the only one who can remove this darkness, because you are my transcendental eye." So, very important points here. Until that moment, the relationship between Devahuti and Lord Kapila was mother-son. But from the point of declaration, that relationship changed to one of Guru Shishya. Lord Kapila took the role of Guru and she became the Shishya. Just like Arjuna, he was a friend of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Until he actually says in chapter 2, text number 7, "Please instruct me." Then the relationship between friends changed to one of Guru Shishya. So then more importantly is, before Lord Kapila actually starts to reveal Sankhya philosophy, we have to understand that until we acknowledge that we are sick and tired of this material nature, God is not going to actually talk to us. He is there. We left him. He didn't leave us. But he followed us to this material world. He followed us, he's with us, he's quietly observing everything as Paramatman, everything that we are doing, all the nonsense that we are up to. Until and unless we own up to the fact that we are not going anywhere and turn to him, like that famous example that we often hear, two birds on a branch. Yeah? One is looking and the other one is just enjoying doing everything that it shouldn't be doing in the material world. Until that bird turns and faces the Paramatma, God realization is not going to begin. So that's the most important point that we have to learn in all our lives here. Until we actually wake up to the fact that we're not going anywhere with this material life, we have to look up to God and seek knowledge, real knowledge. That's when self-realization begins.
So Bhaktivinoda
Thakur actually sings it. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. So he then starts talking about the elements of nature. The analytical process starts. We have read in previous sections of the Bhagavatam that first there is Pradhan, which is the Pradhan becomes differentiated but still remains unmanifested. It becomes Mahatattva. Then Mahatattva, which is differentiated, when it manifests, it becomes Prakriti, material nature. And then within material nature, Lord Kapila then starts talking about the various elements, the gross material energies, the subtle material energies, all described, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, force, ego. And then we've got the contaminated consciousness as well, and the senses, the working senses, all come into play, they all interrelated. Then in this chapter, chapter 28, text number 1, Lord Kapila then says, my dear mother, I will now explain to you yoga process, the object of which is to concentrate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So concentrate the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he speaks more about Ashtanga Yoga and the 8 practices within Ashtanga Yoga. What are they? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Samadhi is the stage of total absorption where the mind is totally fixed on the Lord. That's the final. Then in elaborating these practices of Ashtanga Yoga, he then says the yogi should meditate on the form of the Lord. And then how we should prepare for that, the do's and don'ts, and then in the process of actually meditating, how we should actually meditate on the form. Then he goes deeper into the meditation to say it's not enough to just meditate on the total form. We've got to meditate on the specific links of the Lord, starting with the lotus feet. Okay, even just on the lotus feet, we know there are so many markings of the Lord. Okay. Lotus feet, then it slowly moves up to his legs, his thighs, his hips, his navel, his chest, his neck, his face, and then coming to his eyes. And today we are talking about his smile and his arched eyebrows. That's how it's all flowing and linking up. Okay. So we can see God realization is a systematic process. We can't just jump willy-nilly here and there and say, I want to be realized, I join today and tomorrow I want to be realized. There is a systematic, gradual process of realizing God and awakening our natural love for Krishna and to know our sambandha, our relationship with Him. Just like how Lord Chaitanya, when he was revealing his teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami in Ramkeli, he started from the basics. He started from the basics of talking about what the creation is and how many million species of life there are in the material creation and all. And he takes Rupa Goswami all the way up to the highest level of bhakti. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada has followed these acharyas and he has given us a very systematic process. Morning programs, attend Mangala Arati, and go through the Aarti process and chant. Very systematic. He has given us all these books. Srimad Bhagavatam is written very systematically, canto by canto. Canto 1 right up to canto 12. And then within each canto, we organize all the chapters. And within each chapter, all the verses are flowing. So, when it comes to actually so, Bhagavatam, as I said, it runs from Canto 1, and then Canto 1 and Canto 2 are like the feet of the Lord, and then it escalates all the way up to which is Canto 10 represents what? The Lord's
face.
Like that, it slowly flows up. Now, here in the translation, it says, a yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari. A smile which, for all those who bow to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. There are only two sentences in today's translation. And there are two paragraphs that Prabhupada gives in his Garbha. So for this first sentence, it relates to the first paragraph of the Garbha. In the first sentence here in the purport, Prabhupada says, he elaborates, the entire universe is full of miseries, and therefore the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. Prabhupada is referring to the entire universe, not just this planet Earth. Okay? And we know there are many, many universes emanating from the pores of Mahavishnu. Many universes, everything in material creation. And just in one, in just this one universe, we know there are 14 planetary systems. What are they? Satyalok, Kapalok, Janalok, Mahalok, Swargalok, Bhuvalok, Bhulok, and then below that we got Artala, Veertala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala. 14 planetary system, one universe. Every single living entity, right from the topmost Brahma to the smallest Indra Gopal, is in misery. Brahma lives for millions and trillions of years, but still, he has to leave his body. Okay. Misery means what? The world is, what do we normally call this place? Place of Dukkhalaya. Or the other way is anityam asukam lokam. Anityam, temporary. Asukam, inauspicious. It's a temporary, inauspicious place. No place for a lady and a gentleman. Okay. And then he says, therefore, the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. Are we shedding tears? Are we? Forget this. Let's go outside. You drive around, you walk around. Do you see people shedding tears? Are they crying? So we have to understand from what perspective this statement is being made. We have to understand how rare the position of first a human soul is, human being is. 8.4 million species of life in this whole creation, correct? 400,000 of that 8.4 is human being species. We are just one species. Two eyes, one nose, two ears, one species. Out of that 400,000 human species, 200,000 are uncultured. Malechas, Pulindas, Shabaras. And then there's the remaining 200,000 who are supposedly cultured Aryans. Within that 200,000 species of human beings, 100,000 give lip service to Vedic principles. The other 100,000 actually do some Vedic principles, and they are mostly karmakandis. And there's a small percentage who are actually not karmakandis, and they are trying to be wise. And in that small percentage, another small percentage is seeking to be liberated. And within that small percentage again of those who are seeking to be liberated, there is a small percentage who actually are devotees of Krishna. That's how rare this human life is. But look at what's happening out there as we see, and even among ourselves. Okay, we actually do not appreciate how precious this human life is. So Prabhupada here is making this comment from the perspective of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is titikshava karunika, meaning he is always compassionate for the conditioned living beings. He is always trying hard to actually engage, to awaken these conditioned living beings, to reconnect with Krishna, to awaken their natural loving relationship with Krishna. And when we see here, we say, Prabhupada says, there is a great ocean of water made from such tears. Great ocean. First of all, we don't see people crying. So how can we see this ocean? But from the perspective of a pure devotee, there is a great ocean of tears. This is metaphorically speaking. But literally, Prabhupada sailed many oceans. At a ripe old age, when many at his age, 69 years old, would choose to just retire in Vrindavan, he was already in the dham, the holy dham. There was no need for him to leave that dham. Everybody goes to the dham to actually retire. But Prabhupada, at the ripe old age of 69, sailed the high seas, all because he wanted to execute the instructions of his spiritual master. And he went through so many difficulties. He took Vrindavan with him. Even though he was leaving Vrindavan, he carried Vrindavan with him in his heart. Sailed for months, had two heart attacks. And he said the third one, he would have gone. Two heart attacks, landing on the shores of a foreign land, 40 rupees with him, a trunk of a few books of Bhagavatam, not knowing whether to turn left or right, ending in the hippies area, being beaten, his typewriter getting stolen, his original manuscript of the Bhagavad Gita getting stolen. So many difficulties. All why? Because of compassion for the conditioned living jivas. This is going beyond carrying out the instruction of his spiritual master. He could have said, I made a few devotees, that's it, stop, go back to Vrindavan. Yeah, I fulfilled the instructions of my spiritual master. But no, this is genuine compassion for the jivas. So he actually expanded this movement all around the world, and today we are fortunate to be connected to Prabhupada, to be connected to his movement. And this importance of being connected to Prabhupada reminds me of this pastime of Banasur, of 10th canto. Banasur is the son of who? Bali Maharaj. Okay? It's the son of Bali Maharaj. He was the eldest son. Bali Maharaj had 100 sons, he was the eldest. And Banasur has 1,000 arms. Okay? So he was very proud, full of ego and all that. So one day, when Lord Shiva was doing his famous dance, the Tandava Nirtya, so Banasur actually went to play the drums for Lord Shiva. Okay? With his 1,000 arms, 500 drums. Can you imagine? Okay? Amazing, beautiful drum playing. And then Lord Shiva was so happy and he said, I'll grant you a boon. What do you want? Ask me. So Banasur replied, my dear Lord, I want you to be the guardian of my city. You protect me always. Okay. Lord Shiva said, Tatastu, so be it. No problems. And then Banasura, his ego was just, he was just getting puffed up and puffed up and puffed up. Then he went to Lord Shiva himself and says, I'm actually itching for a battle. Except for you, Lord Shiva, there's no one else who can actually equal, you know, fight with me. Lord Shiva said, wait, you wait. Okay. So with that, then now he had a daughter. Banasura had a daughter. Her name was Usa. Now Usa, now she was having these amorous dreams. These dreams about this lover coming in her dreams, and she was having amorous pastimes. And then when she was awake one day, she mentioned this to her maid servant Chitraleka. And it was found out, Chitraleka found out that this personality who comes in her dreams and has amorous pastimes with her is actually Anirudh, Lord Krishna's grandson. Now Lord Krishna at that time was in Dwaraka, ruling Dwaraka. And this was happening in Shonitapur, which is Banasur's capital. So what does Chitraleka do? Using her mystic powers, she goes to Dwaraka, she kidnaps Anirudh and brings him to have pastimes with Usa. So they engage in pastimes and it goes on. Then finally, they get found out. Banasura finds out, he gets very angry. How can there be this illicit arrangement? And then he captures Banasura. He captures Banasura, and then this news of his capture goes to Dwaraka. Who carries the news? Narada Muni. Narada Muni carries the news to Lord Krishna, and they too become angry. So this side angry, that side also now angry. What happens? Armies are assembled. Big war. Big fight. Okay? Now in between this, Lord Shiva has given the boon that he will protect Banasur. So he then had to take the side of Banasur. He then came riding for war as well on his carrier Nandi, and brought his two sons, Kartikeya, riding on his carrier, the peacock, and Lord Ganesh riding on his carrier, the mouse. And the ghosts and hobgoblins and all the ghouls, they all came, big army, assembled, fight. So there was big fight, everybody's throwing weapons, and Banasura with his 1,000 arms, 1,000 different weapons, and showers of bows and arrows all being shot at each other. Lord Shiva got involved and he released his Shiva Jwara. Shiva Jwara is a kind of weapon which is, well, Shiva Jwara personified has got 3 heads and 3 legs. And this releases lots of heat, like creates fever. Seeing this, Krishna, who was also in battle, released his Narayana Jwara or Vishnu Jwara, which is counteracting the heat and releases cold. So obviously cold wins. Right? The heat was nothing, no match for the cold. Then the fight was going on and on and on, and finally Lord Krishna released his Sudarshan Chakra and started cutting off the arms of Banasura. 1,000 arms, 996 were cut off. Okay? 4. At that time Lord Shiva intervenes and says, oh my dear Lord, we surrender. We surrender, we are no match for you. But please, I have given this boon to Banasura that I will always protect him. Please do me this favor. Help me uphold this boon. Then Lord Krishna says, I have left him with 4 arms just to show him not to be too proud. But knowing that you are my dear devotee, I will uphold your boon. I will grant not just protection for him, I will actually make him your eternal associate. And more than that, I'll give him a bonus. He will never die. He will have eternal life. And you know why I'm giving all this bonus? All because he is connected to Prahlad Maharaj. Banasura is the great-grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Banasura's father is Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj's father is Virochan. Virochan's father is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is my dear devotee, protection for the group of the sages. Similarly, we have got this opportunity where we are connected. We are so fortunate we are connected to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a pure devotee, and here we have got disciples of Prabhupada, we have got grand disciples of Prabhupada, we have got great grand disciples of Prabhupada, we have got devotees who have taken shelter of Prabhupada, we have got devotees who are aspiring to take shelter of Prabhupada. But it is so important to be connected to Prabhupada. For those who are not initiated, I urge you, take that initiation, get formally connected to Prabhupada. For those who are already initiated, what do? You just rest on your laurels? Okay, saying, I'm already protected? No, it means learning from what Prabhupada did to go deep into developing our character. Okay? Who left his body recently in New Goa. We know death can come anytime. Padam padam yagri padam. Danger every step. And we also know Yudhishthira Maharaj had this wonderful pastime with Yaksha. There's another pastime, I'll tell you that also. When the Pandavas were in exile in the forest, one day there was a Brahmana living next to the Pandavas. A deer came and stole his arni, a piece of wood which the Brahmana uses for starting the yagya fire. So the deer ran away with it, and the Brahmana approached the Pandavas to go and help him recover that wood. So Yudhishthira Maharaj sends Bhima. So he goes searching into the forest, comes to a body of water, lake, and then he was thirsty, he was about to drink, then this voice says, "What? Don't drink, answer my questions first." Did he listen? No. He drank the water, he fell unconscious. Next who came? Arjuna. Same place. And this is all, there is this kund there in Vrindavan, Dharmaraj kund they call it. Who has been there? Dharmaraj kund. Yeah. It's in Kamyama, okay. The Kamyama? Yeah. So, Arjun came. Same thing. He also didn't listen. Fell unconscious. Then the other two brothers, Nakula and Sahadev came. They also fell unconscious. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj finally came. Same thing. The Yaksha said, answer my questions first. So, there's this 100 questions. The last of the 100 questions was, Kim Ascharyam? What is amazing? Yudhishthira Maharaj answered, Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam sheshya stavram ichanti kim ascharyam ataha param. Every day hundreds and thousands of living entities are going to the abode of Lord Yamaraj. But the one that is living thinks that he will live forever and does not plan for his death. Does not plan for his bring him to your bank account. It means reconnecting, understanding how fortunate we are to be devotees and going deeper to develop our Krishna consciousness. And further, we go deeper down into this purport, the second purport, where Prabhupada is saying, not even before going to the second purport, it says here, one need only see the charming smile of the Supreme Lord. One need only see the charming smile of the Supreme Lord. Every morning we get darshan. Okay, we come and stand in front of the Lord. Honestly, how many of us actually see this charming smile? Yeah, maybe the Lords are like, their appearance, their decoration and all that, maybe they've got some smile, okay, the deities. But how many of us actually see the personal form of Krishna smiling at us? God is personal. After many, many years, how many of us actually see that smiling face of Lord Sri Krishna? Why? Why we cannot see that? Because we have material vision. To see Krishna, we need spiritual vision. On one of his morning walks, Prabhupada was with his disciples. He was walking, his disciples were, it was the usual exchange where Prabhupada was talking philosophy, saying that bhakti is the only way to actually realize Krishna. Then in that group of disciples, and I heard this in lecture, in this group of disciples there was this devotee, his name was Prajapati. I'm not sure if you know who Prajapati. This is going back to Dallas, Texas, one of that morning walk lectures. Now apparently Prajapati is a very good actor. He's always acting. Okay? So while walking, then he's just a natural actor. Everything that he says is very theatrical. Can't roll it off. Theatrical. Okay. So he actually, when Prabhupada was giving these little snippets of wisdom, of real knowledge, Prajapati said to Prabhupada in a very dramatical fashion, "Oh Prabhupada, I've got material eyes. I cannot see Krishna. I cannot take him to the core of my heart." Prabhupada ignored him. Then he was going on, they were walking and walking and walking. Then he tried again. "Oh Prabhupada, I cannot see Krishna because I have material eyes. I cannot take him to the core of my heart." Prabhupada ignored him. They kept on walking. Then third time, last try, came in again. "Oh Prabhupada, I have material eyes. I cannot see Krishna. I cannot take him to the core of my heart." This time Prabhupada responded, "Then I will rip out your material eyes and I will give you spiritual eyes." That is the power of the Guru. Okay. So these eyes is like a video recorder. The moment we open our eyes in the morning, what happens? The video recorder is switched on. It is recording all the images, and all these images, everything that the eye sees affects our consciousness and affects our mind. So we need to have eyes filled with love and devotion. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Lojani. And this reminds me of this topic. A few years ago, went to Vrindavan, and it was after a few days, this was our second last day. We were about to leave Vrindavan. So second last day in the evening, another devotee who's based in Vrindavan and I, we actually hired a rickshaw and did the parikram of the Goswami temples. The seven temples, you know, we got the seven main temples. Okay. Evening. So it started nicely. Went to Madan Mohan temple, had nice darshan. Went to Radha Damodar temple, nice darshan. And like that, other temples, Radha Raman temple, Radha Govinda temple. Then it was already turning dark. And you know, in Vrindavan you got this monkey problem. Correct? So the rickshaw guy always said, "Be careful with your glasses." So to be careful of that, I removed my glasses, and this was already late. I think this was after, can't remember which temple. Then we were, it was already dark. We got onto the rickshaw to go to Radha Gokulananda temple. Took off my glasses, put in my pocket, and then reached Radha Gokulananda temple. Then walked in front to take this nice darshan. Okay, reached into my pocket to pull out my glasses. Glasses not there. Lost. It fell down somewhere. No monkey stole it, but it just lost. Between that previous temple and this temple, lost it. So there I was, standing, looking at the Lord's shapes, but I was blind. Couldn't see. So, I was disturbed, very disturbed. What is going on? I was trying as close as possible to go. Cannot see. Can make out that vague shape, you know, of the Lord's. But cannot see. Very disturbed. I said, all this while, the, you know, darshans of the previous temples were going on nicely. Now, this temple, like, what offense did I do to Vrindavan? So, very disturbed. Then I told the rickshaw guy, we have to look for these glasses. I'm very disturbed. So we tracked back, couldn't find, all very dark and all that. Then it hit me that to see Krishna, we have to see with our heart and mind, not with our material eyes. So not even a realization, just a bit of information that I thought I'd share. To finish up the story about the glasses though, very interesting. So, I thought I lost the glasses. So, it was only the following morning and I was about to leave Vrindavan. The rickshaw guy comes running. Prabhu, Prabhu, glasses found, glasses found. Because during that evening, the 4G network of the rickshawalas, all the information started spreading. Okay? Among the rickshawalas, they found the glass somewhere. Okay? Then I said, okay, Prabhu, what can you do for me now? How can you go? He said, my rickshawala friend is holding your glasses. I have to go now to somewhere near Loy Bazaar and get it for you. Can you wait? I said, no, I got to go. Taxi will come in 1 hour's time. I have to leave Vrindavan. Then I said, okay, never mind. Give the glasses to this devotee because he knew the other devotee who was with me the previous evening when he did the parikrama. He said, okay. I gave him some money. He went off cycling, pedaling to go and get the glasses. I was waiting, and I was anxious. Without my glasses, I'm blind. Okay. So he brought. No, actually, I couldn't wait. Had to leave Vrindavan without my glasses. Then landed in Malaysia. From Delhi, I flew to Malaysia. Went to the Kuala Lumpur temple. There's a Lord Jagannath Mandir there. Okay. Then one day, one of the brahmacharis from Kuala Lumpur temple, who was also in Vrindavan at the same time that I was, he came back and gave the glasses to me in front of Lord Jagannath. We have eyes of love, devotion, we got to have that spiritual vision to see the Lord. Then here the second line, it says here, the yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, the conditioned souls are shackled to material existence because they are captivated by the charms of sense gratification, especially sex life. Especially sex life. And we see that especially in Western societies, we're being bombarded with it every day. Even as devotees, practicing devotees is so, so challenging for us. But, knowing that we are spirit souls, knowing that the spirit soul now is actually entrapped in material nature, in the material star, and knowing that Lord Kapila is explaining that the material sky is made up of all these elements, material nature, and this material energy is part of Krishna's energy. It means the material world is actually originating from Krishna's energy in a perverted form. Right? Everything that is available in the material sky originally is present in the spiritual world. So which means desires, the desires that we have, they must also be present in the spiritual world. And Krishna too must have desires. We have material desires. Krishna has spiritual desires. And the devotees, they are serving him at spiritual desires. We have unlimited desires, unlimited wants. And when these desires are actually not controlled, it all just lends to lust. Lust is what material world is coming from the spiritual world. So sex desire also must come from the spiritual world, right? So how to then understand spiritual sex desire? Spiritual sex desire is actually present to please the Lord. Now, what is the Lord's pleasure-giving potency? His Radhini potency? What is it?
Radharani.
Radharani is His Radhini potency personified. And Krishna, He gets His pleasure, because all of us, He is simply the supreme enjoyer. He gets His pleasure by actually uniting with His Radhini potency, by engaging with her. And our duty, even in the spiritual world, is to do our service to unite that Radhini potency with Krishna. That is how Krishna is pleased. Pleasing Krishna means uniting Radha and Krishna. What did Hanuman do? He united who and who? Ram and Sita in the Dasya Ras. Right? That is what we are meant to be doing. So when we are chanting, whose names are we chanting?
Hare.
Krishna, Ram, and Hare refers to who?
Radharani.
Radharani, the internal potency of the Lord, the internal energy. So chanting is a service, devotional service. And our service is to please the Lord. And to please the Lord in uniting Him with His internal potency, Radharani. So when we are chanting the names of Radha and Krishna, we should do it properly. Because it's an opportunity for us to unite them. Correct? That is why chanting is so important that we take it seriously. So, sex desire is real. It is original. It is there in Krishna. It is in all of us because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Mama Yamansha, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. Okay. And we are simply servants. Jivere Swarupove, Krishnere, Nitya, Das. That's our constitutional position. The problem is when we get disconnected from this relationship of knowing that we are eternal servitors and we choose to enjoy separately from Krishna, lust kicks in. The original sex desire to actually please the Lord becomes perverted into lust. And when we try to enjoy this lust by engaging in sex desire in the material sky, this lust, when it is satisfied, it takes the pathway of greed, lobha. And this greed says, I want more. I want more. I want more. And this cycle goes on with this material sky. Then, if that lust does not get satisfied, it takes the pathway of anger, the younger brother of lust. So to dovetail this, it doesn't mean that we should not engage in sex. Therefore, we have our ashrams. Brahmachari ashram means celibate. Okay? All the brahmacharis have walked away. Okay, that's a good sign. Okay. Sorry bro, you're here. It's still a good sign. Okay. But these ashrams also provide us the facility to actually please Krishna through procreation of children who can be born in Krishna consciousness. So in conclusion, in summary, actually I'll just finish off with this pastime by of the lifetime of Birla Mangala Thakur. It's a good example to actually connect vision, sex desire, and how calm gets converted to rain. Birla Mangala Thakur, we know, was born in South India in a rich Brahmin family. In his previous life, he was already highly elevated, he had reached Bhava. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.31, boldly declare that my devotee will never perish. So he is continuing his life. But he had a problem, he was addicted to lustful desires. He was associating his prostitute. He was so attached to her, couldn't leave her.
A very rich man.
Okay, very rich man. Okay. He was so attached. Even when his father left his body at the funeral, he couldn't wait for the priest to finish off the funeral rites. Quickly, hurry up, I have to go and meet my companion. And then he left quickly. He left quickly and then he came to this river. He had to cross. It was raining heavily, raging torrents of currents and all that. And he was so desperate to enjoy the companionship with her, to be with her. A corpse was floating by. He hung on to the corpse and swam across. Swam across and then he came to her gate of her house. It was locked. He was so desperate, it was raining heavily. He caught hold of the tail of a snake, climbed the gate and crossed, got into her compound. He knocked on the door and she opened the door. He was drenched. Chintamani was shocked. After having heard how he attached, he was so intensely attached to this bag of flesh and bones. If only you could channel your attachment to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, your life will be sublime. That shook him up. Okay. Shook him up, he left. He left and then on the way to Vrindavan, he started going towards Vrindavan. On the way to Vrindavan, he still had this urge. He stayed in this Brahmana's house. Okay, Brahmana had a wife. And he was making advances towards this Brahmana's wife. And she said, she went to her husband and said, this is happening, what should I do? The Brahmana said, serve him. So when she is about to serve him, give me your hairpins, he poked and blinded himself. So material vision gone. He reached Vrindavan. His spiritual vision kicked in. And from his previous life, from where he was, he had this path to elevate himself. He got deep into meditation. Through his heart and mind, he was associating with Krishna. Through his heart and mind, we see Krishna. And with that, I end. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions, comments?
I fear there is no sex desire in Goloka Vrindavan. Is that right? And
there
why
has
is that
to be,
so?
There has to be sex desire, but that is actually purified because it is pleasing Krishna to unite him with Radharani. Mm. Yeah. Sex desire in the spiritual world is continuous. Mm. Material world is temporary. Sex desire in the spiritual world, it increases with intensity. All because Krishna is in the center. It is all being channeled towards pleasing Krishna to unite with his Ladini potency. Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Ganesh once told me that sex was according to the pain you went through at birth, how attached you get to it.
I don't know that one.
It's real.
Yeah.
Well, we were mentioning about vision and how the senses are powerful, especially the eyes.
and it's like a recorder. Now, in our day-to-day life, we have to mingle with the outside world also, and we see other things which affect our consciousness. So how do we get rid of those bad images from our consciousness?
See, Kapiladi actually talked about all our senses here, the gross senses, subtle senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, makes up our subtle senses. And he concludes, and Prabhupada also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, he says, using our intelligence, understand the constitutional position of the soul in relation to Krishna, engage the senses to control the mind. That will solve the problem. Prabhupada says this. Therefore, it all comes back to how we use our intelligence. This is where we are getting knowledge. This is the difference between us and the karmis out there. We are getting this real knowledge. Therefore, we got to apply our intelligence. Knowledge without application is useless. So we got to apply our intelligence to know what we should actually allow in, what we should not allow in. The jiva has got minute independence, it's got choice. So if we remain fixed in our sadhana, if we know that we are pleasing or we're trying to please Radha and Krishna, and we apply our intelligence in our daily sadhana, then we will use that intelligence, that discretion, to absorb or reject accordingly.
Your pasting of Bilba Guru Thakur reminds me of another great devotee, Sundas. He also did the same thing. He punctured his eyes. And he was later on only able to meditate on Krishna's form in his consciousness, like his mind. But I just like to point out that somewhere in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna does not recommend that.
No. You got to remember, this is all happening in Satya Yuga, where this is all very highly elevated personalities you're talking about. Okay? And meditation is a recommended form of God realization in Satya Yuga. But we can't. This is Kali Yuga.
No, not meditation.
Yes.
Like, you know, killing your senses.
No, we can't. Agreed.
Yeah.
Senses can never be killed. It can only be dovetailed in the use of pleasing Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? But these are certain extreme examples that we just read in the Leelas. Alright? Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.